week. As you turn to John 5, I want you to answer this question to yourself. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? Hopefully, your mind went to a couple of things immediately. Some of you may have thought, theologically, this is who he is. Some of you may have gone to something more personal. Hopefully, the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is Emmanuel, God with us, came to your mind quickly. But on the personal level, that he is my Savior, my Deliverer, the one who sustains me, the one who asks me to come to him in prayer and to fellowship with him. But also another question, if someone were to ask you not only who is Jesus Christ, but what evidences would you give to back up that answer? What would you say to establish the fact? Now, we know that there is always an element of faith involved here when it comes to Christ. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But what if someone were to ask you to defend the fact that Jesus Christ is God? You're in John chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 30. We want to look at this morning this topic, the witnesses for Jesus Christ. Verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness that he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify, or we can say it this way, witness of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Based upon the witness given to and for Jesus Christ, you and I should believe that he is who he claims to be. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to be here today. And Lord, we are thankful for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it is not just a book of knowledge, but is a book of transformation. And Lord, we're thankful that it is alive and that it can speak to our hearts and it can help change us more into the image of your dear Son. Help us now as we look into it. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Based upon the witness given to Jesus Christ, you and I should believe that he is who he claims to be. And why is this important? Who does Jesus claim to be? And what have people said about Christ? And they've said that he is a good teacher and that he was a good person, but that he was not God, that his teachings we should follow. His instructions are really good if we were to just boil them down. What he told us to do, they're good things for us. They're morally good things. And he was a good man. He helped a lot of people, but many would say that he was not God. However, Jesus claimed to be God. Look at verse 16 of chapter 5. And therefore, the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Imagine wanting to kill someone for helping someone else. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And the people who claimed to know God the best understood exactly what Jesus was saying when he said, "My Father works hitherto, and I work." When he would say in John chapter 10, "I and my Father are one," they understood the magnitude of what he said, that this man is claiming to be God himself. One author said this, "I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to." It was written by a man by the name of C.S. Lewis, and we know him more for the Chronicles of Narnia, but some good thoughts here. What is he saying? He says, look, you have some choices when it comes to Christ, and you can either say he was crazy, you could say that he was a liar and on the level of demon, but you can't just call him a great moral teacher. You must fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. In a court of law, there are witnesses, correct? How much weight would my case hold if there were no witnesses? There could be evidence, and I imagine there have been cases that have been tried by lawyers and won based on evidence alone, but usually there are types of witnesses that come forth to speak. There's a lot of weight in this, and there are three types of witnesses. Most common would be a lay witness, and this is a person who watched certain events and describes what they saw. This would be the person we would describe as they were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and they saw something or heard something they didn't want to see, they didn't want to hear, but now they're called forward to express what they've seen and what they've heard. You have an expert witness. This is a specialist, someone who is educated in a certain area. They testify to respect of their specialty area only. So this could be someone who's a specialist in physics or biology or forensics. A character witness is someone who knew the victim, the defendant, or other people involved in the case. Character witnesses usually don't see the crime take place, but they can be very helpful in a case because they know the personality of the defendant or victim, or what type of person the defendant or victim was before the crime. And just as all of these witnesses, as they're brought into a case, and they're all different types, and just as they come from different angles who say different things, so Jesus is going to give us here four different witnesses that are going to come from maybe a little different type, but are all going to express the same thing. According to Jewish law, a matter had to be established, especially those capital offenses, by two witnesses. That's found in Deuteronomy 17:6 and 19:15. But notice verse 31. Jesus says, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true," according to the law. Now we know, we're going to get there in a little bit. John chapter 8, Jesus is going to say, "I've testified myself and my witness is true. I know where I came from. I know who I am." But to the audience he is speaking, testimony of himself was not going to cut it. Therefore, Jesus goes through four different witnesses of who he is. Look at verse 32. This is number one. This is John the Baptist. "There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. He sent unto John." Verse 35, "He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now look at verse 29 of chapter 1. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record. Okay, that's a testimony, a witness type word, is it not? Bear record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John the Baptist was sent as a witness to Jesus Christ. Now back to John 5. And look at verse 36. Jesus says, But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Jesus said, The works that the Father sent me to finish, those are going to bear even greater witness than the testimony of John. Think about it. Let's say I come to you and I tell you that I am a great basketball player. Okay? Chuckling already. That's rough. All right? And you're looking at me, aren't you? I come to you and I say, I'm a great basketball player. Better yet. Okay? Not just me. All right? We need to establish this than more than one person. My best friend comes also and he relays the message that I am a great basketball player. And you kind of size me up and you look at me and maybe you've seen me perform athletically before and you say, yeah, I'm not buying it. You're going to have to prove it. And I say, well, how can I prove it? And you'd say, well, could you tell me about your experience playing in championship games? Have you played competitively on a high level? And I'd say, no, not really. Well, red flag probably goes up in your mind. I say, well, is there another way I can prove it? You say, all right, I want you to shoot some free throws. I want to see how you shoot. And I say, what's a free throw? Double red flag just came up in your mind, okay? And you explained to me, said, okay, well, a free throw is, you know, when a foul occurs, sometimes you get a free shot. There's no defenders. You just get to shoot the ball. And I say, okay, sounds good. Let's do it. So we go to the court, and you then have to show me where the free throw line is. There's another red flag coming. And I say, okay, now I'm going to take the shot. All right, well, how do I shoot it? And so now you're like, okay, this guy, really, like my six-year-old knows how to shoot a basketball. This guy is in trouble. So you take and say, hold the ball like this and make sure, you know, you bend your knees and you want to look at the rim in a certain area and make sure your follow-through is good. And I'm like, okay, great. So I take 10 shots and I miss all 10. Badly, okay? But we witnessed verbally that, what, I was a great basketball player. But the works that I did not back it up. And Jesus says here, he says, I received not testimony from man. Really, did Jesus need to do anything to claim, to prove that he was the Son of God? No. But he says, the works that the Father has given me to finish, it's not just what someone has said. But the actual works that I did proclaim the fact that I am who I say I am. Think about this point, up to this point in the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 5. What works had Jesus accomplished to prove that he was the Son of God? In John chapter 1, we see what? That he told a disciple that I saw you under the tree, right? And he says, that's really nothing. And then John chapter 2, we come and Jesus miraculously at a wedding turns the water into wine. We just had a wedding last week, didn't we? We're thankful the rain was this week and not last week, are we not? Brunch would have been very soggy if we had had it outside, or people with umbrellas would have been all over. And I'm thankful we didn't run out of anything at the wedding. Okay, there was plenty there, and did a great job, and there was plenty of food for us to eat and all of that. But this wedding, and something runs out, and Jesus miraculously takes the water that the servants bring and turns it into wine. And John chapter 2 and verse 11 says this: "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." What about John chapter 3? When a man by the name of Nicodemus comes to him by night, and he says this: "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And even Nicodemus would proclaim, okay, there is something unique about you. No one can do the things you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus was close at that point, wasn't he? And Jesus, at that, doesn't even really answer him. All he says, what? You must be born again, right? He goes right to salvation. Think about John chapter 4. And Jesus must needs go through Samaria, and he meets a woman at the well and begins to talk with her and begins to explain. He's trying to get her to understand who she is, that if only you had known who I was, you would have asked me living water, and I would have given that to you. And this woman gives us the two understatements of the century when she says, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" Right? And you can see it almost like, really, who are you? Are you greater than our father Jacob? And then he begins to talk with her, and he says, "I want you to call your husband." And she says, "I have no husband." He says, "You've said well, okay, because you've had this many, and the one you're with right now is not your husband." And she's starting to get it. And then she says, "You know, when the Messiah comes, he's going to be able to proclaim things." And even after he told her that the man she was with was not her husband, she said this: "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." And then he would say to her, "I'm the one you've been waiting for." And she runs into the city, and she begins to testify. John chapter 4 and verse 39, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.'" And then the end of John chapter 4, a nobleman comes to Jesus, and his son is sick, and he wants him to heal him, and Jesus says, "You can go your way. Go your way, your son is going to be made whole." And as he's going back, the servants come to him and they say, "Hey, your child's alive." And he says, "Well, what time did that take place? When did he start to get better? How did you know this happened?" And they say, "It happened at this certain time." And it says the man knew that that time was the time Jesus had told him, "Your son is going to live." And then we come to John chapter 5. And we have a man who's had an infirmity of 38 years. And Jesus asks him this question: "Wilt thou be made whole?" And Jesus heals him on the Sabbath day. And this is just what's happened up to chapter 5. Think about John chapter 6. And the feeding of the 5,000, John chapter 6 and verse 14, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, said, 'This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.'" And then we come to John chapter 9. And Jesus takes a man who was blind from his birth, and he gives him sight. John chapter 9, 32 and 33, "Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of the one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." I love that story in John 9, where you see a man who's blind, he's begging. But by the end of chapter 9, he has the confidence of God in him that Jesus is who he said he was. And then we come to John chapter 11, where Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. And was it not heard that someone opened the eyes of the one who was born blind?" But then we come and Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And John chapter 11, verse 45 says this: "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him." And then we come to John chapter 19, and Jesus' death on the cross. And he would utter the words, "It is finished." What did he say in John chapter 5? The works that the Father hath given me to finish. Was this one of the top works in his mind as he said these words in John chapter 5, knowing in John chapter 19 he's going to say, "It is finished. What? The work is done. The plan of redemption that was from the foundation of the world is complete. So much so that in the Gospel of Mark, the centurion would look and say these words, "Surely this was the Son of God." And then we come to John chapter 20. The first day of the week, Jesus rises from the dead. Not just the testimony of John the Baptist, but think through the works that Jesus did that were a proclamation that I am who I say I am. John chapter 10, 24 and 25 say this, "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." So they come to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, we're tired of having to wonder about this. We're tired of having to go back and forth about this. If you really are who you say are, would you please just tell us?" Hello? John chapters 1 through 10, we've seen some amazing things take place. He says, "Hey, if you're the Son of God, would you please just tell us? Stop beating around the bush, Lord. Please just tell us who you are." And this is what Jesus answers them. He says, "I told you, and you believed me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." John 21, 24, and 25, "This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. So what do we have in the Gospels? We simply have a sample of what Jesus Christ accomplished while here on earth. The works of Christ are a witness. They are a loud proclamation that I am who I claim to be, that I am the Son of God. I am not just a good teacher. I am not just a normal person. I didn't just happen to get in the right environment and do the right things. I am the Son of God, and I'm here to accomplish the work of the Father. Now look at verse 37 of John chapter 5. "And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not." God the Father, the one who the Jews would say, we claim to know God, we're of God, you're not of God, Jesus. God the Father was very witness of who Jesus Christ is. And God the Father spoke at the baptism of Jesus, Matthew 3 and verse 17, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And at the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17 and verse 5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And when the disciples heard it, they were sore afraid. They knew what was going on. Now go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and look at verse 12. It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. And Jesus says, look, my testimony is true, but if you're requiring me to give another witness of who I am, the Father is the one who is the witness of me. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Everything that the Father is, the Son is. God the Father and God the Son are equal. In John chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus says, I and my Father are one. But not only is the Father witness, we have John the Baptist, we have the works, we have the Father himself. Go back to John chapter 5. And verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And then he goes on to say here, he says, for had ye believed Moses, verse 46, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. The scriptures themselves testify or witness to who Jesus truly is. And the central theme of the scripture is Jesus Christ. Not just the prophets, but the Psalms and even the book of Genesis all speak of him. The scriptures are true because they are from God and God cannot lie. And the scriptures speak of Jesus. Think simply of the prophecies fulfilled by Jesus. Is that not verification enough that this man was not just anybody else, but that he was truly the Son of God? Peter Stoner was the chairman of the Department of Mathematics and Astronomy at Pasadena City College. He later went on to teach and have the same role at Westmont College. Being a mathematician, he wanted to know the probability of 8 fulfilled prophecies. He figured out that the probability of any man fulfilling 8 prophecies would be 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That is 1 with 17 zeros attached to it. He knew that a number might not mean as much to us other than just staggering us. So he gave us this picture to help us comprehend this staggering probability. Fulfilling 8 prophecies, he would say, would be like covering the entire state of Texas in silver dollars 2 feet deep. I have never driven across Texas, but I know people who have. And I've heard it's long, and it's humongous. And there's not a whole lot there, probably between Dallas and whenever you get to the other side of 40. But he said, take the entire state of Texas, silver dollars, 2 feet deep. Now mark 1 of these silver dollars and stir the whole thing thoroughly. Blindfold a man and tell him he can travel as far as he wishes. But he must pick up 1 silver dollar and say that it is the right one. What chance would he have of getting the right one? Just the same chance that the prophets would have had writing 8 prophecies and have them all come true in any one man. And Jesus fulfilled more than 8. Think of the prophecies. The fact that he would be born of a virgin. The fact that he would be born in Bethlehem, a specific place, at a specific time. Think about simply his triumphal entry and how he entered the city, that was prophesied. His crucifixion. The fact that his bones would still be in place. Those things written many, many years before he came on the scene. And they're simply an aid to us and a help to us in our faith that Jesus Christ is who he claims to be. And Jesus plainly explains that Moses spoke specifically of Jesus. In verse 46, he would say, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me because he wrote of me. Is this not similar to what Jesus said to the 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus? Luke 24, 25 through 27. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart. Remember, he comes to them and he says, hey, what's been happening lately? And they said, are you a stranger here? You don't know what's been going on. The whole city has knowledge of one event that has taken place, and that is the crucifixion of Jesus. And it's 3 days since things happened, and now people are telling us that he's risen from the dead. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Can you imagine being in on this and listening to this? If I have a disappointment with Scripture, it would be that Luke did not add 10 chapters to the gospel to explain every word that Jesus said at this time. What would we have found out? And we know passages that we would point to and say specifically this points to Jesus Christ, but I wonder what Jesus would have said that we would have thought, wow, that Scripture too? That one as well? How long did this take? Expounded everything about himself in the Scriptures? Dr. Luke, could you please have just added some to this and let us know? But beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. The Scriptures, even if we were to just take that alone, what a witness that Jesus Christ is who he claims to be. So we've seen John the Baptist, we've seen the work specifically of Christ, we have seen the Father himself and also the Scriptures. And what can we take away from these four witnesses? By the way, I think four witnesses in a court of law would be pretty powerful, all saying the same thing. And we can take from these that Jesus is who he claims to be, that he is God. But I believe that there is another witness that Jesus is who he claims to be. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And those whose lives have been changed and transformed by the gospel are a witness. They're a testimony that Jesus is who he claims to be. Think of your own life. Think of your family background. And that would be different all over the room. And some of you maybe come from backgrounds that you would not wish anyone to have. Experiences, unfortunately, you had to go through that you would not want anybody's life to be these things. But yet, when you came to Christ, the transformation that has taken place in you and your family. And for some of you, maybe it was a parent who made the decision to trust Christ, made the decision to change the trajectory, to change the direction of the family because of the decision to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and the transformation that has taken place. Think of your own self. Think, where would I be were it not for the grace of God in my life and the transforming work of the Spirit of God through the gospel? The truth is, we are witnesses with the works that Christ is doing in every one of us. Ephesians 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Philippians 1, 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Does my life, does your life testify for or against the fact that Jesus is who he claims to be? And we're not talking perfection, but we're talking growth. We're talking sanctification. We're talking change that comes from the gospel. And although there is that element of faith in which we believe that Jesus is who he says he is, when we share our testimony with others and what God has done in our own life, we witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is who he claims to be. Brothers and sisters, let's not just be able to speak the witnesses, but to live as a witness for Jesus Christ. Father, we are thankful for your word. Thank you for your goodness to us. Father, thank you for the witnesses that you've given. And Father, even as I think of those in this room, And Lord, the stories we could tell of your working in our hearts and in our lives. But Father, the work that we could tell of to others as a testimony and witness of you as well. Lord, we love you. Thank you that you are who you claim to be. And we rest in that truth. Help us now as we continue about the day. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.